Welcome to our Friday morning chapel. Please join me in the responsive reading of the psalm from Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 12th chapter, the first two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The sharpest bend in the Mississippi River is right near Red Wing, Minnesota. And back in the mid-1800s, a man who happened to be a very good potter, who worked with clay, realized that there was tremendous resources there for deposits of clay, a certain type of sediment. And he began in what kind of ultimately developed into a pottery industry right there in Red Wing. You've maybe heard of Red Wing Pottery. And at one time, there were more than 70 professional potters just in the town of Red Wing. And the city itself, in the late 1800s, was growing so fast that it was looking to be one of the largest cities in Minnesota. That industry has died down a lot in town, but there's still, outside of town, a place where you can go, and there's a nice display case, or window, or I should say, where you can watch special artisans making pottery and designing beautiful clay pots and things, and making vessels and cups and pitchers and things like that. It's kind of fun to watch somebody who's really good at that, if you've ever seen somebody do that really well. I took some classes in it, but I never mastered it. The Egyptians were the first to come up with a potter's wheel. And thousands of years before Christ, were using potter's wheels to form and shape different vessels. The Bible sometimes uses the imagery of being a vessel, that you as a Christian, as a believer, are a vessel of God's grace. And St. Paul even talks about how we as Christians should be used as an honorable vessel with our lives as to how we go about things in our life. And when God the Holy Spirit creates faith in our hearts for us to trust in Christ as our Savior, it's as if God has shaped us like soft clay, has taken and gently shaped us to be vessels for God's grace. And we often are referred to that way in the Bible, as chosen vessels of God's grace. So today I'd like you to think about the Holy Spirit kind of being like a very crafted artisan who can take the clay of our sinful human nature but shape us into these wonderful vessels of God's grace. And his gentle hands have shaped you now to be someone that loves your Savior, started probably in your baptism. In the book of Romans, St. Paul has sort of taken us, for the first 11 chapters, taken us on sort of a grand tour of all the wonderful blessings of being a believer in Christ. I'm just going to read a few passages, some of the key ones, to remind us of just what a great book Romans is to talk to us about all of this. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You've been declared right with God, totally free. Had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with Christ and what he did for you. We've been justified freely by his grace. He says, having been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't have to worry about being afraid of God and the terror of judgment day anymore. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We now have access to God to be able to come to him with our prayers and petitions. One of my favorite passages, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, he covers you from the raging wrath that would fall upon sinful humanity. Christ is the one that shields us now from that, and there's no being condemned when we're under Christ by faith. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We've got everything to look forward to as Christians, that someday after this life is over, we get to live in the glory of God. What a wonderful hope. So think of all of that as how God, knowing all those wonderful teachings that I just read through, how God shapes us to be believers in Christ, these vessels of his grace, if you will. So you, as a believer in that Savior, are a precious vessel of his grace to be used to God's glory. He's going to use your life to his glory, to give glory to his kingdom. Now, Paul is giving us a little warning here. He says, I urge you, brothers, and then one translation has it this way, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy, looking, in other words, at everything we know that God has done for us, now he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that we have come to know this gracious God, and that we belong to him, and that we're going to heaven, and so on, now that we have all of that in front of us, in view of all of that, looking at that, we need to go through our life remembering who we are, remembering exactly who God has called us to be, and that you are a vessel filled with his wonderful grace in Christ. And he says specifically, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So it's as if you and I are still in the pliable state on the potter's wheel, okay? That we are the clay that is still in a pliable form. And it's possible for someone to come now and take the seat of the Holy Spirit and to push him aside and in our lives try to reshape us to the way the world thinks, to conform, to take and shape us and our hearts and minds to the way the world looks at things. And this is what he's warning about. The hands of the world, the hands of the culture that we live in, the wicked, evil way of thinking that is contrary to God's will, loves to come and push into us and with its fingertips and palms wreck this beautiful vessel that God has created, to put pressure on us, to form us into something that thinks and acts and moves differently in life than what our Lord and Savior would want us to do. To change, maybe gradually, how we think about various things. Things that are contrary to what God would desire. And this, the stage of life that you are in right now, 17 to 23, historically, is the stage where this happens with the greatest danger and the most often. If you think about people that you know who at one time were devout Christians and fell away from their faith, the largest amount is in the age group you're in right now. And it often starts with little moral issues where you cave in to the way the world thinks. And you start letting that pressure of the world kind of alter how you look at your life and how you look at things in your life. And you start to conform and get reshaped by this evil, wicked, ungodly culture that we are living in. And sometimes it can happen really subtly. Sometimes it can happen very slowly and gently. You don't even sense it right away. But then you start to realize that this can start to change your mind and your heart. Many of God's beautiful vessels of his grace that he has shaped have fallen away, have been thrown off into the heap of the bad clay that's off to the side, because of little things in their lives that started to change how they looked at life. So St. Paul is warning us, and he's well aware of the dangers that Christians face, even back in his day as well. This isn't anything new. This has always been a constant pressure on us. So it's important for you to ask yourself, where do I presently feel the fingertips of the world? Where do I presently feel the palms of the world trying to crush the vessel of grace that I presently am? Where is that happening in my life right now? Because it's happening. It's happening somewhere to everybody in this room, including me. There is some way that this wicked, evil, nasty world is trying to conform us to the pattern of its thinking. So where is it for you? Where is it for me? It's important for us to identify that and to realize the danger that it can have on our entire outlook on life and our entire spiritual life. So how do we combat this new pressure from the world? Listen to what Paul says again. In view of God's mercy, in other words, looking at the wonderful truth of what he's given us in Christ, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word there is metamorphos. It's the word for a metamorphos, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind to know what the will of God is. It's through God's sacred word and listening to that and taking it into our hearts and applying it to our lives. This is how we are transformed and remain these precious vessels of God's grace. I love how Paul doesn't say to us, in view of the potential punishment you will get if you do this, he doesn't motivate us with the law. He says, in view of God's mercy, based upon the grace and the mercy and the kindness and compassion of God, that's why we should now look at our lives with a desire to be transformed. One commentator put it very well. I love this. I remember reading this in seminary. He said, when you're a young Christian, offer God the flower of your youth. I like that. Offer God the flower of your youth. Don't think you have to wait until you're an old fossil like me to try to kind of come around and care about the kingdom of God. Do it now. Offer God the flower of your youth. He has, by his grace, touched your heart and made you his child. He's forgiven you all of your sins, and he has heaven waiting for you. In view of all of that, offer him the flower of your youth. May you always remain his gracious, beautiful vessel. Amen. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in his peace. Amen.